Hello, Mishpacha.
Welcome to the Shofar Ministries Hour, live on Christian Radio. And I did say shalom, in case you missed that. 12:20 a.m., right? On the World Wide Web as well, on WHKWradio.com. This is John Bartlett, your joyful co-host, with our Bible teacher and minister, Sheila Crawford. Before we get started tonight, let's ask our Father in Heaven to be with us. Adonai, we lift up the many prayer requests that have come in this past week. So many on family salvations and those with ailments. We also pray for the supporters of this program. Please meet their financial needs. So Shofar Ministries, your ministry, may continue doing the work that you have called us to do. We do trust you in this matter, and we thank you in faith, knowing that you hear our prayers like incense from your temple. We are your temple, and you are our confidence, our deliverer, and our shepherd. And we worry for nothing, as you have commanded in your word. We bless you, El Shaddai, as we see the day approaching and the fulfillment of all your word. And we bless you in the name of Yeshua. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, John. That was wonderful. And I just welcome all the listeners out there. Thank you for tuning in. So nice to know that you're out there. Anyway, the phone lines are open. We've been opening them for the whole show, and I think it's helped. We've gotten a few calls. And I want to give you that phone number if you have any questions on the end times or the feast, particularly Hanukkah. The number is 888-677-WORD.
Yes.
888-677-WORD. One more time.
No, 888-679.
No.
9673.
That's
be careful.
Do it right now, John.
That's right.
888-677-WORD.
Word.
Okay.
All right. Well, we got to remember too that right now it's Hanukkah, and kind of news is gloomy, and it's a kind of a gloomy story. But you'll notice in the story that God is in full control throughout. Just as
He is.
You know, that's the story of Hanukkah. God is in control, just like He is now.
He is now.
Mm-hmm.
And tonight we're going to conclude our 3-week teaching all about Hanukkah. We have delved into some of the more interesting history associated with the feast, and tonight we really focus on the spiritual application of Hanukkah. What does it really mean spiritually to each and every one of us?
Yeah, that's nice. I've been waiting for that part.
Mm-hmm.
Well, before we continue in the study of the lesser of the Feast of Lights called Hanukkah, is there any pertinent news to report this week?
Yes. Oh, yes, there is. Well, let's start out with, you know, some really good news. Obama appointed 2 more devout Muslims to Homeland Security posts.
Oh, that's just the kind of people you want in that position. Now, the press release you saw this in calls them devout, too?
Yes, it said devout Muslims.
Devout.
And that's amazing. Have you ever heard anyone say devout Catholic has been appointed or devout Protestant?
No.
But they said devout Muslim, so I don't get it. All I know is that we're getting a lot of them, you know, and I even read an article that said that he's going to actually give citizenship to something like 100,000 Muslims in the next few years.
So the infiltration is just about complete.
Yes,
and,
it is.
And with that, on that happy note, we'll go to Egypt. What's been going on there? A lot, right?
Well, I want to mention, too, is that if you pray for these Muslim people so that they'll get to know the Lord, then that would be a good thing, because Muslims are getting saved. God is showing himself in a vision to many.
That's right.
You know, so don't not pray for them.
That's right.
They need it just like everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
So, Egypt. Is that what you want to know? You want to know about Egypt.
I want to know about Morsi and all this dictatorship and Sharia law and all that's going on over
there. There's still a lot of turmoil, of course, going over there. I'm sure you've been watching the news. And mostly it's over this referendum that he wants to do this new constitution.
And this is the Arab Spring number 2.
Yeah, basically. But this is our Muslim Brotherhood, President Morsi. And, of course, he wants to implement this new constitution, advocating Sharia law and other not acceptable laws to many people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Barack Obama has very openly shown to Israel that he's going to stand by Morsi, even with Morsi's recent arrogant power grab. And even Obama has approved a $1 billion U.S. foreign aid package that was approved today of these F-16 fighter planes and other things to Egypt. And here's the amazing thing. It's to be delivered on January 22nd, at least four of these F-16s. And that's the day of Israelis' elections and the day after Barack Obama has his inaugural. So what timing is that? I mean, is that done purposely? I don't know. Yeah, I think so. But where, anyway, besides that, where's the wisdom of sending jets to an unstable Egypt?
That makes no sense at all. That's terrible.
Yeah, well, massive revival demonstrations continue.
That's the first thing you want to do when a country's unstable like that is give them some really good weapons.
Yeah, I know.
That just makes no sense at all.
Well,
it does if you want a Muslim takeover of the Middle East, though.
I know. Well, these demonstrations are coming against Morsi, and they're demanding that he cancel the referendum, which is, I think, Saturday. And he says, I don't think so. And, in fact, the Muslim Brotherhood is mobilizing their own supporters to counter this protest. So we're talking civil war here.
Wow.
However, the rebels or the opposition have kind of clipped President Morsi's wings yesterday by actually making him annul the near-dictatorial powers that he gave himself, but forcing him to forego the referendum would further undermine his authority. So he gave some power to the military. He authorized them to secure state buildings and arrest any civilian if necessary. And military sources report that yesterday, six Egyptian Air Force F-16 fighters actually flew over Cairo as a warning.
Okay, so he's threatening them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So he's pretty determined, but the U.S. promise of new fighter planes was also a recommendation to the Egyptian army, the military, to pick the right side and opt for President Morsi. You know, there's always been that conflict between the military and Morsi.
Yes.
So it was like us promising these fighter planes and saying to the military, hey, you better, you know, side with Morsi if they wanted any more of our assistance to keep coming.
Hmm. Yeah.
At all events, Obama has made his choice, opting for Egypt's Islamists against the pro-democracy and liberal opposition that they've been trying to get since Mubarak.
And that's a choice he would not have made when he campaigned for a second term.
No, you didn't hear that anything like that.
Anything like that.
Before.
Hmm.
But, you know, getting to Israel, they had a dark premonition of what was coming. I mean, and who knows? And he's been having to play his game lately. But Obama began laying the background for his strong alignment with Islamist Egypt really back last month with a dramatic announcement of that ceasefire between Israel and Hamas. Remember on November 20th?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Now, that was delivered that it was going to be a ceasefire in Cairo. Say it for me.
Cairo.
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 Sometimes my tongue goes too fast. By bragging that Morsi and Hillary Clinton are such good negotiators. And by this announcement, and by maneuvering Israel in abstaining from a ground operation in the Gaza Strip, I think was pretty sad because they didn't complete what they were supposed to do.
Mm-hmm. They did not.
But Obama raised the Egyptian president to a fully-fledged international figure, just praised him and blah, blah, blah.
Wow. Well, one thing you can say about Obama, he is a very clever politician.
Yeah, he is.
So it seems. And now Hamas wants to be erased from the international terrorist
list. Oh, yeah, they're
saying
they're not a terrorist.
No, no, they're actually, they ride on motorcycles and collect toys for kids every Christmas. You didn't know that about Hamas?
Well, you know what's really funny, though, in Gaza?
Yes.
They do some of that, and they make sure that they get pictures taken and
oh,
stuff.
I'm sure they do.
But when no one's looking, they're killing their people.
Right.
It's
exactly.
Amazing.
And using them for shields.
Oh, yeah.
Shields, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And now they're joining up again with Fatah, because if we're going to give any money to anybody, it'll be Fatah. So Hamas wants some of it. So now they're friends again.
Yeah.
They've been doing this for years.
And they'll fight, and then they won't be friends after they get their weapons and their money.
That's right.
Like it goes every
time.
Well,
and then they'll be doing the fighting, see, and then Fatah can say, that's not us, that's Hamas.
Yeah.
Oh, that's wild.
And they don't think we get that.
No.
They don't think
a lot of them don't. That's the terrible thing. People just see it and they just let it go on and on and on.
Yeah, because they blinded themselves by believing lies and lying to themselves. It's wishful thinking.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
unfortunately,
happens.
I'm a little sad to say that Prime Minister Netanyahu kind of fit into the role cast by Barack Obama. He even agreed to let that radical Hamas leader, Khalid Mashal, I think is how you pronounce it, to visit Gaza last week and let that go.
Yeah, he did, didn't he?
But Obama rewarded Netanyahu with the announcement that the United States, in its goodness, has appropriated $650 million to refill the depleted arsenals that Israel used in the Gaza. Now, that's only two-thirds of what he's giving to Egypt.
No. That's only two. We're giving more to Egypt?
Yeah, a billion. This is only $650 million.
Wow. Okay.
What's an extra zero, you know?
Gee, with all that goodness, let's move on to Syria. It only gets better, right?
Right.
I understand we're going to put our troops in position to help the rebels in Syria? Is that
yes.
What's
well, outwardly, yes. I think we've been doing it for quite some time. I think Benghazi was part of that whole thing, gun running and stuff, but of course nobody knew about it. Now at least we know about it. But again, it's inevitable. The Muslim Brotherhood's just going to step in when this is all over and take over.
Mm-hmm.
But Assad is warning that if he is pushed any further, he will unleash his chemical weapons, and that is, of course, the scare for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's going to, but he has been seen moving them northward, as I said last week, kind of in camouflage trucks. Everyone is high on alert. There's U.S. ships in the Mediterranean as well as other countries. But here's my take. I think Assad knows he's doomed and wants a protected exit with his family to an undisclosed place for asylum. I've heard talk of it being Ecuador. I don't know. But this threat that he's using of chemical weapons will help that request, okay? Because I think easily we will say, yeah, get out of here.
Or we'll end up like, who was the dictator in
Gaddafi?
Yeah, he'll end up like Gaddafi. I think he's afraid.
No, he knows. He's not that stupid.
Yeah.
He's going to leave.
He knows how the Muslim Brotherhood works.
Oh, yeah, he does. His father had to deal with him as well. But otherwise, again, he knows he's a dead man walking in. His family knows it as well and just wants him to leave. So that's the bottom line, and I'm pretty sure that's exactly what will happen. And as we already said, guess what will happen then?
Gee, do you think the Muslim Brotherhood might step in? By the way, I want to remind everybody, too, the Muslim Brotherhood was in cahoots with Hitler.
Yes, way in its founding.
In its founding, yep.
That's right.
So just thought I'd remind people of that.
That's right.
And they're still true to their foundation.
Yeah, that socialistic type thing.
Yep.
And let's face it, that's exactly what Obama wants for America, to be socialistic. He wants to kill the middle class. He wants just rich people and poor people.
Wow.
But that's a whole other program.
That is.
The main thing is, as we said before, we know that God's in control.
That's
and
right.
If this is the way it has to be, then we're absolutely content with that, because we're not to worry about anything. All we're supposed to do is
witness.
All right.
And witness and keep in your word.
Yeah.
And you'll get a lot of joy from that, too.
But what's interesting is that the Muslim Brotherhood will just come in and say, oh, we're going to help you now. We're going to give you this anti-dictatorial democracy.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's, you know, you mean like Egypt. now look at them. Now we went from a secular autocrat, they're supposed to be saying to themselves, we went from a secular autocrat to an Islamist dictator.
Yeah.
So what did they gain?
No, exactly. It's going to be worse.
It's going to be worse for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Jordan is next, and they know it, and most likely Saudi Arabia as well, since the king is on his deathbed.
Yeah. And
literally.
And of course, we know the plan. And of course, I understand Israel's still bent on those building those housing units.
They sure are.
I mean,
More power to them.
Building housing
in their own land. I'll tell you, that's just amazing. Okay.
How could they just do that? Doesn't that offend you? Boy, that sure offends me. We're kidding,
really?
Of course.
Wild,
we're kidding,
isn't
of
it?
Course. Yeah, it is. It's crazy. Well, okay. Sheila, how about a quick recap of what we did last week, or covered really over the last 2 weeks? And listeners, I want to encourage you to just visit our website. That's shofarministries.net for the last two programs on Hanukkah. And of course, the program is occurring. We're in Hanukkah right now, and the program, as a matter of fact, this is the fourth candle was lit tonight.
It is.
Did you light your fourth candle?
I will when I get home.
Oh, no.
I sure will.
Okay.
Okay, yes, I certainly can do that. Actually, the first week I taught on the importance of the menorah, or the seven lampstands, and how now it is a symbol for the church, according to Revelation 1:20. And we discussed the difference between the menorah and the Hanukkah candle of nine branches and why.
Mm-hmm.
Then the second week, we recalled the more detailed history of Israel's enemies and the Seleucids and their wicked ruler who was actually raised in Rome, which is an interesting thing as well.
Antiochus Epiphanes.
That's right. And how he's a type of what?
The Antichrist.
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
And referring to the prophecies of Daniel 11 talks about it, as well as chapter 9 also talks about the signing of the agreement. So we covered quite a bit in the last couple of weeks. We also spoke on how Antiochus Epiphanes made that abomination of desolation, and how the Antichrist will do this as well, according to Jesus in Matthew 24:15.
Okay, maybe we should explain what this abomination of desolation is. It's kind of it's an intimidating term, you know. What is it?
Yeah, it is kind of, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Well, back in 167 B.C., Antiochus Epiphanes made the abomination when he made his own face on the statue of Zeus, placed it in the temple, and called himself God, demanding everyone's worship, killing any Jew who was caught reading the Torah or keeping any of their laws, including the Sabbath and circumcision.
Wow. He even forced them to eat pork, I understand.
That's right. And they endured horrendous torturing.
But still, that remnant remained strong.
Yes. The priestly tribe from the family of Hezmon, with his five sons, rebelled and started an heroic revolt for religious freedom.
The rest, and like they say, the rest is history.
The family, along with anyone who would join, trained to become guerrilla fighters. Mattathias, the father, who was really kind of old by this time, died in the first year of the revolt.
But he kicked the whole thing off.
Yes.
Yes.
And then he was succeeded by his son, Judah. Wow, I just saw a picture here.
Mm.
Mattathias' picture of the father, and then Judah's picture of the son who finishes off.
So,
I don't know, maybe.
I think so.
Anyway, Judah was known as the Maccabee, which
means the hammer.
Yes. Now, Antiochus's army was considered, by the way, the mightiest in the world at that time. It was a hard and long battle called the Maccabean Revolt. But finally, after 3.5 years, which is how long the Antichrist in the last half of the tribulation, I think that's interesting, will fight major battles.
Hmm.
They fought four. The Maccabees were victorious, ousting the evil king and the Seleucid army. Antiochus soon became insane and died. In fact, he was called Antiochus
Epimanes,
or mm-hmm. something like that.
Yeah, Epimanes, which meant madman. And I think he was mad before. He just finally drove off the end of the cliff there for his insane. He was insane when he started.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, of course, the Jews were elated about this, but this miraculous victory is not the real reason for Hanukkah.
Oh, really?
Really.
Really.
No, you see, the joy that they had soon turned to bitterness as soon as they saw the temple's abomination. I mean, it had to be filthy, where pigs had been sacrificed and Greek gods were erected. So they set out to work, and finally on the 25th of the Jewish calendar in the month of Kislev in 165 B.C., the temple had been cleansed and ready to be rededicated.
Hmm.
However, when it came time to light their menorah, the seven-branch menorah.
Yeah, and remember, it had to remain lit 24/7.
Sort of a picture of our light having to stay lit 24/7.
Yeah, we don't turn it off when we go to sleep.
That's right.
That's right.
But they could only find one small flask of undefiled oil enough only for one day. That made them very sad because the special consecrated oil, by the way, you can read that in Exodus 27.
Mm-hmm.
But this oil had to be hand-beaten, cold-pressed olives without the use of any heat, taking at least a week to process. But, and here's the miracle, lo and behold, the lighted menorah that was only supposed to last for one day miraculously stayed lit for 8 days until they finished the process and could replenish the oil.
And, you know, now they knew this had to be God.
They absolutely did.
If they, I'm sure they figured, if it wasn't from the victory, it was
mm-hmm,
this.
I know.
Yeah, this was quite a miracle.
It's in memory of that miracle and the rededication of the temple that Jews everywhere today light another candle every sundown for 8 days, beginning in the evening of Kislev 24, which would be Kislev 25, on the Hebrew calendar, and now a nine-branched candlestick holder, because they would have the eight candles in remembrance, mm-hmm. and a ninth candle as the servant candle, and you like to use the Hebrew name,
the Shamash,
and to light all the other candles.
Yes.
That's right. Amen.
Big picture of our Lord right there, the light of the world.
That's right.
And
he
a servant.
Serve us.
And he comes to serve us. I think that's so cool.
It is so cool.
Well, what do you think about a break at this time?
You know, I would love to play that. We only get to play these Hanukkah songs during Hanukkah. And we
That's
had a
right.
real cute one last time. And this one, I think, is actually by the same children.
Yeah, this is from the orphanage in Jerusalem. And the song called, these children sing so beautifully, too. This song is called Simcha Ve'or.
And they're all orphans.
Yes, they're all orphans. Or they come from broken homes, mm-hmm. a lot of them. The song Simcha Ve'or means happiness and light, and it's about Hanukkah. So I think we'll just go and listen to that song, and I'll read the words to it when it's over.
So okay, sounds good.
See if you can guess what the words are.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
היום נשיר לחג האורים, זהו חג של שמחה ושל אור, לדור בדור עם ניר ושיר לביבה מתוקה, נחגוג ביחד את החנוכה. הנה גדול הישראל, וכולנו נזמר שירי הלל.
חנוכה קנדות, חנוכה קנדות, דנסים קנדות, פלום דדקטות, חנוכה קנדות, חנוכה קנדות, לייט אל הום נספר. חנוכה קנדות, חנוכה קנדות, דנסים קנדות, פלום דדקטות, חנוכה קנדות, חנוכה קנדות, לייט אל הום נספר.
לייט זו חנוכה לייט, נדליק נרות חנוכה.
היום נשיר לך האור,
זהו חג של שמחה ושל אור, לדור
בדור עם נירות ושיר לביבה מתוקה,
נחגוג ביחד את החנוכה. כי נס גדול הישראל, וכולנו נזמר שירי הלל.
חנוכה קנדות, חנוכה קנדות, דנסים קנדות, פלום דדקטות, חנוכה קנדות, חנוכה קנדות, לייט אל הום נספר. חנוכה קנדות, חנוכה קנדות, דנסים קנדות, פלום דדקטות, חנוכה קנדות, חנוכה קנדות, לייט אל הום נספר.
Wow! Welcome back to the Shofar Ministries Hour. That was a cute song done by the children of the Children's Village in Jerusalem. It takes care of orphans. It's a community residential facility, daycare center, They have programs for the kids, recreational and enrichment programs. If you want to find out more about this place, just call Sheila.
Yeah. Well, I just want you to know that part of the money that comes in, I give to them.
Oh, that's good. That is good. And didn't they sing that foreign language well?
Yes, very well.
English. That was their foreign language. And they sang
right?
it well. And they sang it well. But the Hebrew in that song said, "Today let us sing for the Festival of Lights. This is a festival of joy and of light. From generation to generation, let us sing with a candle and a sweet latke," that's a potato pancake. "Let us celebrate Hanukkah together. For Israel saw a great miracle, and we will all sing songs of praise."
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Very cute. Do you have a question for Sheila, or would you like her to speak at your church or group? Just email her at sheila@shofarministries.net, or just call the office, 440-834-9006. And some important reminders, your donations still remain tax-deductible for now, and they're very vital to this Hebraic Roots ministry, especially at this time. Right?
Yeah.
So send your gift to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021, or use PayPal on our website. All donations automatically put you on Sheila's informative newsletter. So include your address, whether it's the email one or the house address, okay?
That's right. Email is easy for me because you can print out your own copy and share with others or just forward it to someone you care about. But do share the info, especially the mini gold nuggets that often contains some great teachings, and they are also all archived on shofarministries.net. But I just finished yesterday, December's, and boy, it's pretty good.
Is it?
I have to say.
Oh, well.
They will be blessed.
You've got me interested. Well, and be sure to check out our webpage, too, where all the newsletters and previous radio shows are archived. And you can order a teaching DVD there as well as Hebraic Roots 101 or one. Is that what it's called? Hebraic Roots 101.
That's one of them.
Yep. The lines are open now. Just a reminder, the numbers for your questions about Hanukkah and what we're talking about tonight, 888-677-WORD, 888-677-9673. Shofar Ministries Hours, live every Tuesday at 8 p.m. That's why we're here.
That's right.
And that's why you're here. So why not recommend the program to a friend?
Why not?
Why not?
Okay, we're going back to our lesson.
Yes,
and
we are.
This is, I know, one of your favorite parts, as
yes,
well as mine.
Favorite part of the
season. Special season. And let me preface this information with the fact, again, that it's not so much that as when he was born is the fact that he was born. And I can't say that enough. And more importantly, that he's born in your heart.
Yeah, that should be the real celebration.
Absolutely. You know, on previous programs,
And they're all archived on our website.
That's right. We have talked in detail how we can know that Jesus wasn't born in the winter. I mean, we've talked about this many times.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But rather, that he was born on the Feast of Tabernacles. And this is the greater Feast of Lights, and it occurs in the fall. And Jesus himself called himself the light. And see, that's what he would do. He would be born during the Feast of Lights because he is the light. Hello?
Yeah, there's no accidents or coincidences with this. This was pre-planned from the foundation of the earth.
That's right. But now, if you count back on the Jewish calendar, or from any calendar, actually, the normal gestation time of a woman, which would have been from Tishri 15, 280 days back, or 9 months, which is the normal time of gestation, again, as I was saying, you will come to the eighth day of Hanukkah. Now, Hanukkah is also known as the Feast of Lights. It's the lesser Feast of Lights. And just think about it. Now, really think about what I'm saying here. Knowing God, it just makes total sense to me that it was on this day that the Holy Spirit came upon Mary and she became pregnant with Jesus. So, incarnated on the eighth day of the Feast of Lights.
And, of course, that number eight, his number, is meaning never-ending, eternity. There's no stop or start in the number eight.
That's right. His number is eight.
Yes, it is. It's a figure eight. If you trace it with your finger, it doesn't start. It doesn't stop. It's also used as the infinity symbol, I guess, in mathematics and things like that.
Forever and ever.
Forever and ever. It works. Works for me. Does it work for you?
That's right. But I hope that people understand this. that he is the light of the world. Of course he's going to be born in the Feast of Lights and incarnated in the Feast of Lights as well. And how he arranged it so that both of them would be called that.
Well, sure.
It's just amazing, but those are the details that God does, and those are the things that God wants us to know. Those that really want to get close to him, that, and it's just a remnant. You got to admit, it's a remnant.
Yeah, I would have to say that.
He will give you deeper truth. He just will.
Yes.
And this is a deeper truth, and you're listening to this tonight.
Yeah.
Then you want and hunger for deeper truths as well.
You know, Sheila, what's really, really strikes me about this is just another case of God's complete control. We say, I said at the beginning of the program, God's in control.
Completely.
to the last little period, dotting of the I, crossing of the T, whatever, however you want to put it.
That's
he is in control.
Every
little thing. And that just gives me a feeling of the mightiness of the God I serve.
And there's actually no word to describe it. You can use the word awesome. You can use blow me out of the water or knock my socks off or whatever you want to say. But it's still uncomprehendable.
Well, it looks like things are left to chance. But really, when you start studying,
nothing.
You find out that there's nothing left to chance.
No.
Cool.
So the other thing is that people say he was born in a barn, but actually that was a sukkah or a booth, which was mandatory for all male Jews to reside in.
During the festival of Sukkot or Tabernacles.
Which is the festival of?
Of greater lights.
Yeah, and you can read about that in Leviticus 23:42. But also in Genesis 33:17, it talks about a sukkah would be hanging around during the other times of the year, and animals would actually feed in there.
Animals, that would have them for animals. And then you wonder where those manger scenes come from, and why is he in that?
I believe
why
it's
is he in that feeding
trough? It's a sukkah.
Yeah, it's a sukkah. And they just said, well, we don't have any more sukkahs. We'll just get the animals out of this one. You use this one.
That's right.
What does that make sense?
That's right. And God made sure that the inn was full because being that she was pregnant, that would have been an okay thing not to stay in a booth.
Yeah.
But God wanted him to fulfill the Jewish law.
Yeah. And he certainly did. Now, that happened.
Amazing.
This all happened, this Hanukkah happened historically between Testaments.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes, it did.
And it's not a major feast.
No.
No, it was the major feast. You can look at those. They're set up by God in Leviticus 23. This was set up also by God, but it's not a major feast. So, okay, since it happens between the Old Testament and the New Testament, did Jesus and his followers, did they observe this festival, do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. And the reason we know that is because of John's Gospel in chapter 10, Jesus went to the temple for the Feast of Dedication.
And?
The Hebrew word for dedication is Hanukkah.
Mm-hmm.
And he also makes sure that we knew it was in the winter.
So we know which Feast of Dedication it is.
That's right, because there's two Feasts of Lights, also called Feast of Dedication, because Solomon's Temple was dedicated on Feast of Lights, Feast of Tabernacles. And Hanukkah is the dedication of Zerubbabel's temple after they restored it.
Mm.
So there's two Feasts of Lights, also called the Feast of Dedication, same feast.
Oh, that's
but
so cool.
This one, Hanukkah, we know it is because it says it was in the winter.
And that's basically how we know it's Hanukkah.
Yeah, no doubt about
it. We're not trying to stretch anything here by any means. So,
no, and Jesus went there. And it's he definitely went there because it was Hanukkah.
And again, not a coincidence.
No.
No. And so that means that we as Christians can have fun with Hanukkah, and we can light our little menorahs and have fun with it.
That's right.
So seven major feasts now we have, and two minor feasts.
Right. The seven major is in Leviticus 23, and then the two minors, one is Hanukkah, and what is the other one, John?
The other one is Purim.
That's right.
Yeah.
Now, you can read about that in Esther.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And Hanukkah, again, is the intertestament one, but it is talked about in Daniel.
It is.
Yes, it
it's
is.
It's almost like it's a prophecy.
It was, and Daniel was definitely a prophecy.
Absolutely.
And it did happen.
Cool.
So, it is cool. It really is. That's a great word. Maybe that's the word to use.
We have Jesus born on the greater Feast of Lights.
Yes.
And incarnated 9 months back on the eighth day of the lesser Feast of Lights.
That's right.
And he is the light of the world.
World.
And the light to whom the Gentiles would seek.
You got it.
Hey.
Well, I hope our listeners got it as well. But you know what? If you're out there and you're listening and you don't get it, just re-listen to the show a couple times.
Yes.
And you will.
I think, you know what? I'll go so far as saying you'll know more about Hanukkah than most people.
Most Jews.
You could say that, too. Yeah, there's a lot of information here.
If even the Jews knew about Jesus and all this, you know, a lot of them might get saved.
That's true.
So let's get out there and tell them.
Yeah, tell them.
Amen. But here's what's also very interesting now. The same chapter, John's Gospel, chapter 10, a little bit later in verses 29 and 30, he goes on and says that no one can take his own sheep out of the Father's hand or his hand. And then adding, I and my Father are one. Now that's huge.
Why
and it's
huge?
So huge that they tried to stone him for blasphemy. So they knew exactly what he was claiming. And sometimes people tell me, oh, well, Jesus never claimed to be God. Yeah, he did.
He did right there, didn't he?
Deity with God, you betcha. And here's what's interesting. He chose to say it during Hanukkah, and I believe in the memorial of his incarnation, God the Father. I don't think it could be more appropriate.
Again,
perfect.
That's perfect. There's no coincidence there.
I know.
And you know, it reminds me, there's readings, and we've talked about this before, for the Jewish people in the synagogues. They all are on the same page every week. Mm-hmm. There's special readings that they've done for centuries for the season of Hanukkah. Additional readings, let's call them. One is the book of Zechariah. Mm-hmm. And a part of that reading is, this is fitting in with I and my Father are one.
Mm-hmm.
But they talk about the stone.
Yes.
Which is spelled in Hebrew letters that if you read half of the word, or half of that word stone in Hebrew, it says Father. You read the other half, it says Son.
Yeah.
You cannot have the Father without the Son in that stone. And that is the stone that's going, that's the capstone of the that's yeah. Our Lord and Savior.
That's right.
That is so cool.
And that's some deep meat there that you added.
Yes.
That's not in the script tonight either.
It's not in the script, but it just gives me goosebumps because
it does.
I know that, and he chose that time to say, I and the Father are one.
Yeah. These are the kind of thing God does. I mean, it's just, and he wants to tell us. You know, but most of us are so busy with the cares of this life that we're not willing to sit down and give him the time that it takes for him to talk to us through his word.
Yeah.
You know, because we're always in such a hurry looking at our watch. Okay, my 15 minutes is up. I'm out of here. You know?
Well,
and then
today
I
read
my Bible every day. Yeah, really?
It's hard. It's hard, Sheila. People that are making a living right now, they're having to work extra hours.
I understand. And when you get home, you're tired and you just want to lay down and veg. I understand that.
It's a fight, but it's a good fight.
It's a
fight worth fighting.
Oh, big time.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to add one more gold nugget, that the eighth day of Hanukkah is always on a new moon. And, of course, we know the sign of a new moon.
Is no moon.
Is new beginnings.
It's not there. It's a new moon.
Well, I believe that when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, that when he says you must be born again, that he was pointing up to the moon. That's why he made sure that we knew it was dark time.
Oh, that was night.
It was night.
Oh, he does mention it's night.
Yes.
Interesting.
And so he was probably pointing up to the new moon, and he says you must be born again. Well, I found out later by understanding Hebraic roots and phraseology and idioms that the new moon was, in effect, considered to be born again. See?
Like so, the Jewish people are born again when someone tries to wipe them out and they're born again and they're here they are again. And that's exactly what that's about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. New beginnings.
New beginnings.
So with that, I believe the day of the Lord, which begins with the rapture / resurrection, begins on a new moon too, because it's new beginnings. How do you think? What do you think about that, John?
Well, I think that's very most likely thing to happen. I do.
Makes sense, doesn't it?
It does. It makes so much sense. It's very likely, and it will.
Yeah.
I'm convinced it will.
And there's other scriptures that kind of infer to the fact, because they couldn't even go and see the king or even a prophet unless it was a new moon or a Sabbath.
Yeah, this is an important date.
You know, so if we're going to go see the king, it's going to have to be a new moon or a Sabbath.
Well, now that you put it that way.
I I bet, you know what? If a new moon falls on a Sabbath, that's even going to be a double thing.
That'll be a double sign, won't it?
Yes. So anyway, let's get back to this point, though. Maybe December is not the actual time for his birth.
Yeah.
But his incarnation is an even bigger miracle, let's face it.
It is. And Christmas time is falling falls a lot of times at the same time as Hanukkah. And
last year it did. This year Hanukkah's a little earlier, as you know.
And both Christmas is a good time to witness.
Well, sure it is. Hearts are absolutely more tender. I don't know what it is, and it's not really his birth, but it's when people traditionally celebrate it. And I believe that this would be a good time to tell him the gospel as far as now it's Christmas season. Why don't you invite Jesus really into your heart?
Mm-hmm.
You know, birth him into your heart during this time. And look at how everyone uses the lights.
And maybe it'd be a good time to explain to your friend or to your children how the lesser lights, and explain to them about the lesser lights and the greater lights,
mm-hmm.
and the light of the world.
Oh, yes. Especially those of you that really, really love the Lord and want to spend more time with him. Teach your children. You'd be surprised how much they know. You know, they can do computers better than we can. They could probably understand the gospel better than we can, too.
And I think you'll find they are a lot hungrier for it than adults.
Yes, they are. And mm-hmm. especially like the preteens.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really good age.
It is.
But Jesus is the light that hung on a tree for you and me. So please, please share this information with others. And while you are doing that, be sure to look at the spiritual side of the rededication of your temple as well, because our bodies are a temple.
They are. And have we defiled our temple with idols? How is it possible to do that?
Well,
sure, it is.
Give me an example, John.
Well, idolatry is anything you put in front of your relationship with the Lord. Anything that you put in place of the time you should be spending with him and his word can become an
idol. What do you do in your spare time? Now, he knows that you have to work and
provide you
have
for to
your
relax.
Family and you need a little R&R and all mm-hmm. that stuff. But when you could be spending time with him, do you choose to do something else? And that you've got to be careful of, because that could be an idol.
It could be. Anything really could be an idol. Anything mm-hmm. in your life that comes before him could be.
That's right.
And I see you looking out the window.
Okay, we have a caller on the line.
Oh, that's what you're looking at. Okay.
And actually, okay. Ed in Shaker Heights, you're on the line. What is your question?
Hi, Sheila.
Let me turn you up just a second.
How you doing?
Oh, yeah, that's better. I'm doing good. And you're from Shaker Heights?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Thank you for calling.
Shalom.
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 Yes. I was curious about something. How are these wars going to break out, and what succession are they going to come? You know, the wars of, like, Daniel 12 that we see, the other ones that we know about that are coming, I forget which ones they're in. But anyhow, and then we saw that picture of, in Revelation 18, mm-hmm. The New York and stuff like that. So I was just wondering, what succession are these going to come at us, you know, like the Damascus War?
Mm-hmm. Well, here's how you find out. Anytime it says in that day, that means it'll happen during the tribulation period. Psalm 83, I believe, probably is the next war to happen, because it doesn't say anything about it being in that day. Okay. Now, Damascus is on the borderline. It's like in Isaiah 17, and it talks about it will become a ruinous heap. But then in the next verse, I think it's verse 4, it talks about in that day. So that could either happen just before the tribulation begins or right after.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
So then these wars are all going to be coming, and these are just like little pictures of the wars that are going to be happening no matter what.
It's I can't say that everything's real plain to me, but I do know that the War of Gog and Magog is definitely during the tribulation, and I'm just kind of guessing, but I have reason to believe it's in about the third year, and that's when the Jews are going to get saved as a nation, And it says so in 38:23 and 39:22 that from that day forward they will be saved. That is going to be when they see the glory of the Lord and accept their Messiah.
Oh, good.
Okay, that's going to be a very special time, and that'll be their born-again experience and possibly even a Jubilee year to them. And I'm going to explain that next on the next program about the Jubilees and what I think is really going to happen. But then at the end, Revelation 18, when you're talking about Babylon, a lot of people think that that is, you know, the United States to New York. I take the Bible a little more literally, and I really think that Babylon is going to be built up more, and that the Antichrist will probably have some kind of throne there as well. And I think it's a literal interpretation. I actually think America is going to be destroyed very quickly after the rapture of the church.
Yes. Now, in Revelation 18, doesn't it speak about the Babylon being the great and mighty, and then they also talk about the wearing of the purple robes and so on and so forth, you know, the different things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't that kind of lean toward more like Rome?
Religious?
The Catholic religion, right?
Yes, there's going to be a literal secular materialistic Babylon, and then there'll be a spiritual Babylon, and I believe that will be the One World Church. You're right. So there's kind of two entities you're working with.
Right.
Yes, both.
Right. Mm. Okay. Interesting.
Well, thank you for calling, and I hope that you'll tune in next week especially. I think you're going to really enjoy it. And are you on my mailing list, Ed?
Yes, I am.
Okay, I think I remember.
Yes,
it's your last name. Yes. Well, I won't say on the air, but I think I know who you are.
Yes.
So I think you'll enjoy the newsletter. I think I sent it to you already.
Yes, I did.
Okay, great. Well,
thank
call
you so
in
much
next
for all that you do.
Okay. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. That encourages me greatly.
Yes.
Call
I
it.
Hope that,
call it again.
On. I will. I most certainly will.
Okay.
You have a great and blessed evening and a great Christmas. And
thank
Hanukkah,
you. Same to you. You bet. Amen.
May the Lord bless you.
Okay, thank you.
Wow.
That was nice.
That was nice, and you answered that really well.
Well, you know, I didn't have everything in the tip of my tongue, but, you know, Revelation is...
Yeah, and it does need clarification. I think you did that well. I think you cleared up some things for me, too.
All right. Well, we have only got a few minutes. What do you want to... you want to just explain the dreidel real quick?
The dreidel?
Dreidel, I'm sorry, I always say it wrong.
The dreidel's a spinning top, and it was came about that during the time of Antiochus Epiphanes, that when the Jews were not allowed to study Torah, they were not allowed to gather and study Torah, that the children would sneak off and play with the top, and they would be reciting Torah and teaching. And of course, when the authorities would look over there and see what they were doing, they're just playing.
Yes.
They're playing. And it became a little kind of a gambling game in Eastern Europe with the spinning the top during the Hanukkah season. And they put the Hebrew letters, Nun, Gimel, He, and Shin. And it stands for a phrase in Hebrew that says, a great miracle happened here.
Hmm.
And, of course, over here, the ones we have that stands for a great miracle happened there. So there's a little change in letters, depending on where you are, in Israel or the United States. But that game is played every Hanukkah. Tradition.
I know you're playing with one right now.
I know. I'm playing with my little dreidel. You can spin them, and they have number values. You know, like the Shin, for instance, is 300. The Hay is 5. Noon is 50. And Gimel is 3.
That's right.
And you can play for points, or you can...
You could. The kids like doing that.
You can play for gelt as well.
All right. Well, I pray that you will use the story of Hanukkah to open the door to conversation that will lead to witnessing and to perhaps bring someone back whose light might be going out. Ask God to put that person in your path. This is extremely important. Christians' lights are going out. Be obedient. Sometimes you might even have to be blunt by saying, I detect your light is getting dim. Let me help you. Let me pray with you. Let me disciple you back to where you need to be. Come on, this is what we're supposed to be doing.
You be the servant candle
That's right.
You be the servant candle. Get your light from the Word, and then you take that light and you carry that to others. You be a servant. We're called to be servants.
That's right. People, I don't think we have an awful lot of time left. Let's do what we're supposed to be doing. Be about the Father's business. Earn your rewards that He wants to give us when we get up there.
Yes, indeed, He does.
And we have to leave.
We have to leave. Do we have time for prayer?
I think we do.
Okay, well, if Jesus is not Lord of your life, now would be a great time.
It is.
To make Him Lord of your life. Accept Him as the light of your world. And, you know, the head knowledge is not going to really do it for you. You need to have Him born in your heart.
Amen.
Born again like that new moon. So all you have to do, get on your knees, repent, particularly of those individual sins that are lingering in your life. And you know what they are, and He knows what they are. They're weighing you down. Why not just admit it? And then commit or recommit your life to Yeshua. That's your Savior. Remember, it's always your choice to choose where you want to spend eternity.
Amen. And that's such a big, big important thing. And people say, well, God doesn't send people to hell. No, you choose to go there.
Yeah.
That is your choice.
And then God gives us a big document that says, don't go there.
So, yeah, I don't want you to go there.
I don't want you going there. And so you have to decide for yourself. Now, remember, that soul doesn't die. And you
never dies.
Your soul never dies. And you have to decide where you want to spend eternity. And I want to spend eternity with Yeshua, don't you? And living in His kingdom.
If we all spend it together, I think that'll be fun.
All right.
And again, just do the Great Commission. Do what Jesus told us to do. Go make disciples. Tell one person a day that Jesus loves them and wants them as one of His sheep, for He is the Great Shepherd.
I love that. Let's leave everyone with the Aaronic blessing tonight.
As we always do.
Yevrechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha, Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'chunecha, Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'esem lecha shalom.
The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift His countenance upon you and give you peace. Join us next week at 8 o'clock. Till then, Sha'alu, Shalom, Yerushalem.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford and the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the left-hand side of the page, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program is sponsored by Shofar Ministries.